fall asleep. Only with PBS Talk Radio. You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on PBS Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to PBS Talk Radio.
Good morning.
And we are who, Manu?
Sam and Manu.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
Did you hear my voice crack?
Yes.
It just cracked again.
Why?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, you look awake. You got some sleep?
No.
Really?
I was bloody up and about until about 3:30.
Oh, my God, Manu.
Yep.
Wow. So what, do you get like 4 hours of sleep or something?
I don't know. What was it? Maybe 3, 4? Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Or this morning. Yeah. Yeah. It's just
Well, that's not good for you.
No, I had too much stuff going around in my head.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I'm going to ask you in a moment about it. But I finally got some good sleep because I was so tired last night. We went to sleep at 9:30. And I woke up like at 1 o'clock and I'm going, oh, my God, I still have about 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
It was the best, you know.
I bet it was. Did you? Were you able to fall back asleep?
Oh, yeah, immediately.
Yeah?
Immediately.
See, man, once I wake up, that's it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, no, I just woke up for a second, you know. I mean, if I got up out of the bed, I'm sure I probably would not be able to go to sleep, or maybe not for a while.
Oh, God.
I know. But I got good night's sleep, and I'm feeling good. How are you feeling better than yesterday?
It was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it doesn't look like they're going to fire me or let me go, but I think the situation is going to arise where I pretty much have to leave.
Why?
Because from what I understand is, you know, when the business opened, our GM at that time was, you know, I mean, I can imagine any GM trying to open up a restaurant being so overwhelmed and so on. And so even though I didn't have anything to do with the restaurant part, mm-hmm. there were, you know, she had made a number of people, you know, what do you call it, acquainted managers, mm-hmm. floor managers, so on.
Right.
Which gave them a little extra money. But, you know, at the same time, they were also able to serve as well when they had to, if it got too busy. Hence, not only has the GM is gone, but same with those people. And there's only been like, there's not even a manager, so-called floor manager. Mm-hmm. They've hired on a new GM along with an assistant GM. And therefore, any management positions are now annulled.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they may not need you, you think?
Well, no, not necessarily may not need me.
But they
they'll need me, yes.
Right.
But the thing is I would go back to minimum wage.
Mm.
And
you wouldn't be a manager?
No.
Really?
I would go back to minimum wage.
Yeah.
And there's just no way in hell.
Yeah, well, it's time to look for a new job, Manu.
That you can make it on minimum wage,
yeah.
Working a job like that.
No. You know, you deserve more. I mean, you're not a 16-year-old kid, you know?
So, no.
Yeah. Well, it's time to start looking for another job. Sometimes things happen at a job where things just change and they're never going to be the same. So you just have to move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened to me many times. Rather than try and beat a dead horse. You know, I mean, it's just sometimes you just have to accept things the way they are.
Yeah. It was kind of weird because, you know, it was like the new GM didn't even really acknowledge, you know, who I was or you know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a bad attitude to take when you start a new job, you know. You got to endear yourself on the employees, you know, but you know, he's probably not going to work.
Yeah,
out
he says, you know what? I've been working in the bars all my life. I know how it all runs.
Good.
And then right in front of him he called, you know, one of my reps mm-hmm. that I know, you know, that I've been working with.
Right.
Right in front of me, like, hey, Jackie, it's such and such. You know, I'm at the Waffle now, and so, look, there's a favor I want to ask, and if there's anything you need, just give me a call, or if there's anything you want to discuss, just give me a call. And I was like, well, I think that pretty much tells me that I've been cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, you just need to move on, Manu. You just need to move on. So, so we're going to have our party in about 2 weeks, and none of the listeners are invited, of course, except for one, okay? And that is Lilu. Oh, she calls herself Lulu. And that's my
Little
sister-in-law,
Lulu?
Right? And
oh,
she's
our number one fan,
and she's definitely invited. And yesterday I forgot to tell her happy birthday on the show. So I'm doing this today. It was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Lilu. We love you. And she's an avid fan. She listens to all our shows, you know. So how can you not invite her to the party? I mean, she's part of this, you know. And she's family. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, insists, you know what she is. So.
Yeah. So if she insists, she gets to come to the party. But otherwise, it's just going to be a party for the hosts. Everybody gets to meet each other. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
You know. So we're going to do that. And our call-in number 818-602-4498. We've got a lot of new shows coming up that are going to be exciting. Also, our show is going to continue to get more and more interesting. We're getting some really fun guests, Manu.
Even yesterday was a little weird, but hey, we found some information out.
Yeah, we got frugal living. Yeah, totally didn't expect that.
No, we didn't. But hey, you know what? Actually, you and I both learned something. Even though I already live frugally, I even learned how to live a little bit more frugally.
Right, right. Okay. But you know what? I mean, I listened to the replay of the show, and you were saying something like, I just want to live a normal life. I don't want to have to worry about this and about that.
Yeah, simplicity.
And that's, yeah, and I mean, that's what anybody wants, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, Manu, is that you have to decide what your priorities are in life, you know? The thing is, you're not making yourself available for a good job because you want to keep yourself open for auditions that seldom seem to come, you know?
Yeah.
So, I, you know, if I were to do this, what I would do is I would get a good job, you know, one that gets me more involved maybe, but that pays more. And then sort of like make an arrangement with a boss. I mean, I see this happening a lot because there's so many actors and stuff. And if you have an audition, you just say, I have to be out for a couple hours or whatever, and you just leave. But if you're going to just be satisfied, or it's going to suffice for you just to take you know, a waitress's job or something.
No, but that's the kind of job that we have to have, because businesses will not accept that. Because if you, you know, if you're going up to a business and saying, look, I have an audition, and the thing is, we don't know if we have an audition until probably the day before.
Okay,
or
that's fine. You let them know in advance. And what I'm saying to you
is
some
you
people
can't.
Will let you. You don't know that. I have a client that has two girls working there, and they all go on auditions all the time. Okay, so you find a place like this. You find the situation, you know. You got to use your contacts, your connections, whatever. I mean, I'm looking to check around for you as well. But you, if you want to live a decent life, okay, because you were complaining about, you know, I don't want to go through life like this and stuff. You have to realize, Manu, that's your decision.
No. I just want to live life where I don't have to. Look, my biggest mistake was buying the house.
Okay, but forget about it. It's over, Manu.
No. Hang on. But when I had bought that house, you know, I had a certain plan and it didn't fall through.
Right.
So I've just been carrying the weight of the financial, you know, degree that you get involved with when you buy a house, and then of course now losing it.
Okay.
And the thing is as a result of that, I've accumulated, and I'm not the only one by any far means.
Mm-hmm.
I've accumulated credit card debt beyond my imagination.
Right.
That I've never ever experienced before in my life.
Okay.
And with the system, how it works, if you miss a payment, your interest rates go high, and it's kind of like a never-ending toll. You know what I mean? Like you're paying piddles. Like before I consolidated a few of the cards, which helped, right? There was a phenomenal amount of interest rate on this particular card. I was paying something like $300-$400 a month just on that card.
Right.
And only, and I'm not kidding, and only like $40 of that went to the principal.
Right.
Now the paying off, and the rest of it was interest.
Right.
Now, when I was falling into this thing, you know, with the house and having like bad renters, having to pay the mortgage off my credit cards, having to, you know, get more credit cards to fix up the house after I had evicted them and so on. I ended up getting a so-called job, you know, and I did that full time.
Okay.
You know, at a hotel. And mm-hmm. it was okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, the thing is, I was still limited to how much money I could earn even at that job. You know, in the end, I was like, I cannot. I remember, and I'd missed out on auditions doing that job. I'd missed out on working on a film doing that job. Okay. Because you don't know when you're going to have an audition.
Okay,
you
so the auditions is the priority in your life. They're more important than a job. That's what you're telling me.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like,
I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just asking you, is that how you feel? Is acting a priority that's higher than bringing home the bacon?
Well, yes.
Okay. So now, that's your decision. Exactly.
That's why I live very conservative, or try to live as conservatively
yeah.
as I can.
Right.
Now, I'm serious. If you talk to any actor out there, right, any person out there, they you cannot have your regular job because of this. You know, a lot of employers won't accept that.
Right.
Because one, you won't know you have an audition until that day, that evening, or the day of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
right.
I mean?
So you're not even willing to try and see if you can find a job that will allow you
freedom. I've been there, Sam.
Okay, so are you going to continue or are you going to give up?
What do you mean?
What I mean is this, Manu, okay? Is that I'm sitting here and I'm hearing you complaining all the time about your financial situation. And what I'm saying to you is it's all in your hands. And you can't complain if you're not willing to take the steps that you need in order to get there. Now, you set your priorities. So, in other words, if your priority is to be available for auditions, that means that you've pretty much decided you're going to be living a frugal life where you're never going to be able to pay your bills. If you want to pay your bills, and I would think that the main thing in a person's life is to be able to pay the bills, first of all.
I just have more bills than normal.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I've got fucking bills up the fucking ass. Okay? And so does everybody, Manu. You know how many people are overdrawn on their credit cards and their bank accounts and all this? But the point is that you can't blame anyone for your situation. Okay? I'm not saying that you do. But what I'm saying is you sort of like are complaining about your plight in life, like why did I end up like this, or I have to live like this and I just want to live a decent life, but you're not willing to do what it takes.
No, I just want to live simply.
No, I understand. What does that
without
mean? Okay, what does that mean?
What does that mean? What it means is just like having income so that I can pay my rent.
Okay, how are you going to do that, Manu?
So that I can at least cover the credit card bills that I'm trying to, you know, gather together, which I've never had before.
Right.
This is the first time ever, ever. Yeah.
Okay.
I only accumulated those credit card bills when I bought the house. You know, I got a credit card to
Manu,
buy
you're changing the subject,
like
Manu.
No,
you're
I'm
changing
not.
The fucking subject. We already established that you have big debt. Okay, we understand that. Okay, so if
but
you
I've
do...
But I've never lived like that.
No, but if a normal person has a lot of debt, then their top priority is to get a job and fucking pay it out. Okay?
Well,
and
I did get a job.
No, I understand, but you're still not living comfortably.
No,
you
yes,
say.
I was.
You are living comfortably.
Well, I'm paying my bills and I'm paying my rent, yes.
Okay, so why would you even bring it up that I want to live simply? I mean, obviously...
That's what it means.
Yeah. Okay. So, in other words, you're not complaining about your situation.
No.
Okay. So, you're okay with that. You're okay with the way your life is going right now.
Look, all I worry about is making sure... My biggest priority is to make sure I have a roof over my head.
Okay.
And I've got enough money to do that.
Okay.
The other things, right, I'm taking care of. Now, the job that I have right now...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right now it is paying that.
Yeah,
I get paid, you know, my hourly in management's position,
mm-hmm.
and I get a few tips, you know, tip money on top of that,
right?
Which is really awesome.
Okay, so
right?
But
now I'm going to be placed in a situation where I may have to go back to minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
and in that position during the day at that bar, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The thing is this. Look, I understand if someone who's like 20 years old was saying those things. Manu, at your age, I guarantee you can make double the money if you wanted to. Easily. But you don't want to, apparently, because you're not doing it. You know, I'm going to give you a fucking hard time about this until I straighten you out. Because the point is that you have the potential and you insist on doing things your way. And whatever happens is, yeah, okay, so if you don't get minimum wage, you get pretty fucking darn close to that, you know. But you're not, I mean, I'm talking to you about $25, $30 an hour. You could do that if you wanted to.
Doing what?
I can think of a million things you can do, okay? I could personally train you to do something, but you don't want to do office work.
No.
Right. Okay, again, so you're deciding what your life's going to be like. Okay, you want to have an easy, fun life, and the price is
living on subsistence level. We've had this discussion before about office, you know, office work and living, right. You know, like working from an office.
Yeah.
That is something that just tears my soul apart.
Okay.
It makes me an absolute miserable, miserable person.
Right. What if you learned a new profession now, like a beautician or something, you know, where you could start doing something for your future, you know, do hair, learn to do nails, you can learn to do, you know, you're probably good at makeup and stuff, you know. Find things like that. I mean, you know,
already know I ain't going to be touching nobody's fucking hands and feet.
Okay, you see,
salon.
So you're being really picky.
No.
You're being spoiled, Manu.
Would you do that, Sam?
What?
We've already discussed this over the radio.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a million fucking times.
I ain't having no goddamn nail fucking clips landing in my
fine.
Face.
Okay, so you won't do office work. You won't touch other people. Okay. What I'm saying to you is this.
No, I actually thought about massage.
I've done, and
I started that, and then, you know, I thought about like you're not going to get, you know, nice bodies coming in your office all the time.
Okay. So you're looking for the easy life, Manu. You're not willing to put in any fucking effort. That's what I'm seeing here. Okay? I know it's hard to hear. That's what I'm seeing. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not judging you. All I'm saying is, if I had that problem, okay, I would think about my fucking future now. I would think, okay, do I want to keep living from paycheck to paycheck? And barely, Manu, barely.
Hey, I've gotten used to it now.
Yeah, but you see, that's the point. You're in a comfort zone now, and you don't want to move away from that. And the thing is that all you'll have to do, all your life is always going to be like this. How am I going to pay the fucking rent? How am I going to buy my food? How am I going to fix my car? All this shit. You know, the thing is that you're not 20 years old, Manu. Okay, you have only yourself to rely on.
That's okay.
You need to do whatever it takes. I hate doing fucking accounting, but I've done it for years because I have to pay the fucking bills. Okay, and I still do accounting until I can make a decent living from the radio. But the thing is, you do what you have to do in order to pay the fucking bills. Okay, the roles, the additions are fine, but they don't pay your fucking bills. Okay, and look, even if you get roles, they'll be decent. I'm sure you'll get a good role. It'll pay you nicely, but it's not steady income. You know, you can't plan your life on that. You know, unless you become a fucking Tom Cruise or something. You know, it just doesn't work. So
for the record, I'm the one being attacked today.
And? I'm not attacking you. I'm trying
to
help you.
Hang on. So yesterday you were telling me that I was attacking you. Now you're attacking me.
No, I'm not attacking you.
Yes, you are.
Okay, I'm
sorry.
Well,
then I wasn't attacking you yesterday.
But you attacked me out of bad mood. You had a bad...
No,
you were in a bad fucking mood.
I wasn't attacking you. I was attacking the system... in its ignorance way of having a system where they were keeping people down.
Well, you were attacking what I was saying, okay? And the thing is that you need...
Well, the thing is, you haven't lived over there. You haven't...
Where?
In Australia or New Zealand or France or other
places.
But
what does that have to do with anything?
Because then you would understand how... You know, how the systems work or how, you know, businesses work.
No, I understand. And I agree with you and I'm grateful to you for filling us in on this. But Manu, we're in the fucking United States, you know?
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And I know. But if you listen to the replay, all you did yesterday was talk about how terrible it is here and how great it is in Australia, you know? And I mean, look, you're free to say whatever the fuck you want on the show. But the thing is, you have to understand that after a while, people just start wondering, okay, why are you complaining so much and not doing something about it? That's the question, you know? And the thing is, you're not happy here. Go back. You know what? We'll do the fucking show from Australia. I'll move to Australia just so you'll be happy, okay? But, I mean, I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to figure out exactly where you're coming from, okay, and why you're constantly in a state of crisis. You are. You're constantly in a state of crisis.
Financial. Listen, last year I was doing fine.
Okay.
Acting.
Okay, so what happened this year?
All last year. Well, we had the writer's strike.
We had the strike, okay.
Okay.
All right.
And unfortunately, things aren't coming back together quickly enough. And then, so that's what happened.
So you're still holding on to the time that you made decent money from that?
No, no. Okay. No, it's got nothing to do with that.
Okay, but the thing is this, again, yes, there was a strike, there's this, there's that. The question that you have to ask yourself is, what is Manu going to do about it? How is Manu going to make a decent income? And I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that. You got a job, that's great. You know, but you weren't making enough money. Besides, it didn't last, you know, and it was hard for you to find a job. But the thing is that if you get yourself some new skills, I mean, the world changes daily on a fucking constant basis. And if you don't adapt, if you don't adjust yourself to what's going to happen, you get left behind, you know? So sue me, kill me, tell me I'm attacking you, whatever you want. I'm looking out for you, Manu, okay? I would never tell you anything to hurt you. You know, why would I? You know, so you think about that, okay? And maybe I'm just tired of hearing complaints all the time. I mean, look, financially, I'm not doing that great either, you know? But the point is that I can't sit there and complain about it because that's my decision. Whatever I'm doing is my decision, you know? And one last thing I want to tell you, okay? And this is a lesson I learned in life. You can't blame what happens to you. The thing is, because you can't change it. You can't control it. What you can control is how you view what is happening to you, okay? So you can look at it as poor me, you know, a strike, this, that, minimum wages, all this shit. Or you can say, you know what? I'm taking charge of my life. I'm doing this. You know what? In fact, you should go to the Tony Robbins seminar like TJ went.
Oh,
that'll
God.
Teach you to take charge of your fucking life once and for all.
Tony Robbins, that big head of his?
Yeah, but he's good. He's good. You know, well, I'm looking forward to hearing TJ today. He's going to probably, in all likelihood, we'll talk about it. And, okay, so you have a distaste for that, too. You know what insanity is? Did you ever hear the definition of insanity is keeping doing the same thing over and over again and accepting different results or expecting different results? It's not going to happen. You keep beating your head against the wall, all you get is a bruise. You're not going to break the wall. You know, it's as simple as that. And life is tough. Look, nobody said life is going to be fucking easy. People go through a lot worse than we do. So anyway, that's my philosophy. That's my psychology for today. I'm glad you're still smiling because it looks like you want to punch me out.
Oh, believe me. So how many viewers do
nobody
we have
wants,
today?
Nobody wants to hear the fucking truth.
Who's our listeners?
We have Joe from Arkansas and Phyllis from Maryland.
In other words, nobody.
No, we have listeners. We always do. So it's April Fool's Day today.
And oh, is it?
Yesterday I fell for an April Fool's joke. Amber came in to do her show, and I was listening to it. And the first thing she says is, John is no longer with us. The bitch just left. Okay? And that's her co-host.
Right.
So I'm thinking she's sitting here all by herself. Poor Amber. What's she going to do now? Because they're very close, and they do everything together. Right? And I'm thinking, shit. You know, what's going to happen now? So then she goes, oh, it's just an April Fool's joke. And he started talking. And I'm going, I fucking fell for this shit. You know? Well, they did do it a day early. So maybe that's why I fell for it. I thought of pulling.
Is today April 1st?
Today is April 1st.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was actually going to do something on the website to really freak people out. To do something like a big headline, like we're sorry to announce the demise of BBS Talk Radio or something. You or one of our hosts died or something, you know, that, though that would be morbid, that's not fair.
So do we still have Gary Garver?
As far as I know, we do.
As far as you know? Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, I haven't really spoken to him, but he never said he wasn't going to do it again, so I'm thinking, yeah, he will be here. Why not?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's funny, you're the second person who asked me that.
Yeah, because we're all, like, waiting for his show.
No, well, the thing is that the thing is he did two shows, and last week he was busy. He had to do something else.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I think for Howard Stern or something. So I would see where that would be a priority. I mean, it would be for me, too. So, but I don't know anything about him not doing the show again. I sure hope he will. Yeah, he hasn't told me anything. He seemed to be pretty pleased here, so... looking forward to that. And a lot of people are excited that we have Gary Garver and they want to listen. And yes, we missed last week, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see him again this week.
Wow. So Bush is up to his antics. Of course, he's taken off to overseas. And before he went overseas, of course, he did his little spiel about his speech and everything like that. And, you know, he included, of course, he wants to definitely push through the bills, you know, about the Pfizer, mm-hmm. you know, that he wants to push through. And the most ridiculous one that he is trying to get pushed through Congress mm-hmm. is like something like $80 billion in tax cuts for the oil companies.
Mm. Very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Bravo for fucking Bush. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they're so out of touch, it's not even funny, you know. I was reading something that Dick Cheney, somebody criticized what they're doing, he says, you know, people are saying this, they're saying that. I'm sorry, I can't even remember what they told him, but his answer was, it was sort of a criticism or asking him or like a comment of what people commented about him.
Right.
And his answer is, so?
That's his answer.
That's his answer. I mean, this motherfucking tight-ass motherfucker, okay, is so conceited. He is so vain. And he's totally in touch. You think Bush is out of touch? I mean, this fucker is totally out in space somewhere. And I can't wait to see him go so fast. You know, he's like, he's one of these people that have this sense of entitlement, you know, like righteous, holier than thou type of a thing. You know,
right.
Like don't tell me how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he's been around for that long is just blood curdling to me.
It is.
These kind of people that will not be accountable, you know, when you ask them a question.
And it's like, Bush and his like... so what do you think about the, you know, the $4 a gallon cost in gas that's been predicted? Oh, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a I mean, well, and then later on, 10 minutes later, he talks about, you know, how he just sat in with a very, you know, very informative meeting about the, you know, the gas price rising.
Yeah.
You know,
$110 I mean, like a barrel. $110 a barrel. I remember when it was like $27.
I do too.
You know, shit.
I do too.
And you can
these fucking oil companies want $80 billion in tax cuts.
Well, you can thank all the Arab countries, the oil producing countries for that. Yeah, that's where it starts. You know, have you heard of OPEC?
Yes, okay. I have.
All right.
Yes, I have.
OPEC determines the fucking prices.
Yeah.
And these people. Just got so lucky to have ended up on oil fields. And
Look at Dubai.
Yeah. You
know. Wow, didn't that city grow in a matter of years?
Yeah.
Went
and
from
just based on oil. I mean, you know.
Went from a desert to the most, well, probably most prestige, glorious, exotic cities in the world.
Yeah.
And the
men are still dressed in dresses and shit, you know, with their headdress and the keffiyehs and all that. You know?
And the prime minister there, or whatever they want to call him there. What do they call him over there?
King.
King, I
They're
suppose?
Fucking kings. There.
All right. Well, he has a...
The prince of Dubai.
Okay. He has a sterling silver Mercedes-Benz made completely of pure silver, everything.
I guess that's important to have your car
I guess so.
Made of silver.
Among other, many of his other, I think like 13 or 15 cars, I think he had.
Fuck that it could feed a whole village just with his car.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah.
For 10 years, mind
you. Richie, you know? I mean, fucking bullshit.
But the thing is Bush is following on with all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, just like him talking yesterday, it's just like, it just annoys, it, like you said, it's blood
curdling. That's why I don't even listen to him. I haven't for 8 fucking years. I'm really not interested in what he has to say.
Yeah.
This guy's no president.
He's not.
Puppet, you know?
No, he's not. That's for sure. And anyway, so now, okay, and this is another thing that really pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
The headline is Iraqi death toll climbs sharply. The monthly figure of people killed in Iraq rose to 50% in March compared to the previous month, according to official government counts. Now, a total of 1,082 Iraqis, including 925 non-combatant civilians,
mm-hmm.
were killed, up from 721 in February. I mean, when you look at those numbers compared to how many U.S. soldiers are being, you know, unfortunately killed
mm-hmm.
over there, these numbers are phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, they're civilians. They're children.
Collateral damage.
You know, it's amazing.
Mm.
I wonder what would happen if the war happened over here.
Yeah, it would be treated differently, that's for sure.
Well, probably would.
I think we overplayed our role of a policeman of the world this time. And you know, it's I just feel bad for the soldiers. I really do.
I do too.
You know, I mean, you go in with you have to be a patriot in order to be a soldier. You have to love your country, and you'll do anything for it. And that's what these boys are doing. And yet we're not getting anywhere. You know, what the fuck are you fighting for?
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck are you fighting for? And I'm telling you,
if you ask a soldier these days, you know, they're probably, if they haven't been already brainwashed into why they're over there, they probably have no idea why they're over there.
They don't need to be brainwashed. They're not stupid. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Johnny Dam had two soldiers here on his show Friday,
mm-hmm.
and they were describing how they walk around there like walking targets. I mean, you're just walking in the street. You don't know where there'll be a sniper. You don't know where there'll be like a suicide bomber or something that's just going to fucking nail you. So this is scary shit, Manu.
You know,
is urban warfare. It's not like the wars that used to be where you're sitting in a tank and shooting people and
I know how that feels.
Yeah, so it's...
I've been there in Mogadishu.
Yeah, that's true. And you see, again, you know, you go into... But you guys had like a decent a humane mission, you know, to go there and save people and stuff. And nobody's getting saved in Iraq. Nobody's getting saved.
No. Nobody was really being saved in Mogadishu.
People are dying all over the fucking place, you know.
Yeah.
And
I saw a disturbing picture when I was looking through this. A U.S. soldier was standing beside a kind of like a shallow pool of water.
Mm-hmm.
But the picture shows the water just being completely blood red because the water is just completely stained with blood. I mean, it's just horrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific.
It is. It is. And you know, the thing is, we don't see that, but, you know, when the...
We're being dumbed down what do you call it, desensitized.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, imagine what the medics see. You know, they have, like, mutilated bodies coming in, you know, limbs missing, bloody anything, you know, shit coming out of anywhere.
Yeah.
And the shit that they must go through and see all that stuff and treat all these injured soldiers and so forth, you know. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I think being injured, at least seriously to the point where it changes your life is worse than dying, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're left with the shit and then you end up seeing all these vets standing on street corners and begging for money because nobody's taking care of them while they were gone.
No.
You know, they come back, they're not employable, they suffer from all these traumas and shit that they mm-hmm. go through, and nobody seems to be taking care of them.
No.
You know, so I think that is, preposterous. I think it's a disgrace to this country that we don't treat our soldiers even better than we do.
No, I know one particular soldier. He's like, I mean, he's completely out there now as a result of the war.
Mm-hmm.
And he has no home. Like, it's like he's deliberate. It's now a deliberate thing for him.
Uh-huh.
I don't want no home. I don't want no place where I'm staying for too long. And he's just so super paranoid about everything.
I'm sure. My God.
And, you know, he's already been in the asylum. You know, he's already, like, going under different various names and so on. And he just takes off. He's like, boom, I'm gone. And you don't even know where the hell he's gone, where he's been.
Who knows what goes on in that mind of his, you know?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And he's on medication.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But as far as compensation or the VA, like trying to follow up and taking care of him or keeping track, it doesn't exist.
No, you don't see much of it.
It doesn't exist at all.
And that's really sad. You know, I mean, you see all these older men that were in Vietnam, and they stand on the street corners with signs.
I know.
And,
Vietnam,
you know,
vet.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see that, but, I mean, I don't know whether I was too ignorant or not. I don't know. But the thing is, I've never seen anything like it until I come over here. It's like, well, what about Veteran Affairs and what about, you know, defense compensation, and what about, you know what I mean, those kind of, you know, all these things that have been applied.
Yeah.
Where is it here?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then it just proves that even the soldiers of today's war, they're even in a worse situation.
Mm. Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah. Who knows? I just sure hope that future generations of government take better care of our soldiers.
We have soldiers coming home and committing suicide.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they cannot handle the psychological damage that they've incurred. And secondly, they don't want to go back.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that those soldiers that were here, they were really sweet, you know. And they were saying how the letters dwindle down from home, you know, they don't get as much as they used to, and then they start feeling like they're forgotten.
Really?
And, you know, and it's another world. I mean, think about it. Think if you had to be in Iraq for a year or two, constantly in uniform,
right?
You know, with guns and shit and all that stuff and all that disgusting situation. And then you come here back to the world, you feel you've missed out on life probably a year or two. You don't know what the fuck has happened back home.
No.
You come home and you don't recognize it.
And then they're facing people who are just going on their merry way as if nothing's ever happened.
Or people that actually criticize them. You know,
correct.
People will
yeah.
criticize the soldiers
yeah.
for what's going on. And that's too, you know, that's too bad.
So I was listening to KCRW this morning on the way here. And as a matter of fact, they were talking to one of the communities around one of the forts in Texas.
Right.
And they were interviewing the children who are, you know, who have basically haven't had their parents, some children, both parents. So there was one particular child, he is 15, 16 years old, mm-hmm. and he's getting ready to graduate. Both of his parents are over in Iraq. They've been over there for 15 months.
Wow.
And you could
do
tell.
Do they allow that? I mean,
yeah,
do they allow?
I know. This is what I'm like, are you serious? Like, how is he being taken care of? Mm. And he said, because he is just the only child, he's been living with family friends. And that's what his life has been.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a home.
Mm.
He doesn't necessarily have a home.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, his family friends that he'd been staying out.
I know.
And it's like, terrible. How can you send both fucking parents out to war?
Yeah. I don't understand that. I can tell you this. In Israel, if you have two children in the army
uh-huh.
at the same time, they won't let both of them be in combat. Only one.
Really?
Yeah. Just so you don't lose both your sons at the same time.
Well, I do know that when I was in the military back home, because I was in operations deployment forces, and if you were married, you know, like if I was married to another military guy
right.
and we were both in operation deployment,
mm-hmm.
he would be the one that was going out in the field, not me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And if there was a child involved, yes, again, he would be the one going out in the field, not her.
Yeah. Well, you know that the interesting thing is in the newspaper today, the military announced that they're going to allow married couples to live together, you know. And because I guess when you're like in the military, you have to sleep with the guys and the girls sleep with the girls, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So here they're going to allow them to live together when they're married. It's pretty cool.
You know, I can see bloody marriages happening over there now, yeah. So they can just shack up together.
There you go. You know,
because I know that's what used to happen back home.
Yeah, because let me tell you, these soldiers that were here with Johnny said there's no action there at all as far as ass. You know, they're not allowed to be in contact with the Iraqi women or anything. And of course they're saying many of the female soldiers are not very attractive. But they claim the Air Force get the prettier girls.
I think
they were bitching,
you know,
about the Air Force, how they get all the good shit.
You know, I remember the same claim when I was in the military too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is, I was in the Army, and when I do mention that, they look at me and go like, "Wow, you must have gotten hit on. I mean, you must have been fighting off all the men."
Yeah.
But the ironic thing was that. It was complete opposite.
Really?
I never had an issue at all.
Really?
None at all. Oh. But then when I was back there too, I mean, because you can remember I spent, you know, almost 9 years in the Australian Army.
Yeah. That's
and
a long
so
time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
That's all I knew. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
Not once did I ever look in that mirror and see this.
Yeah.
Not once. I don't remember
like
it at all.
A beautiful woman or anything.
Not
but
even,
you were a tomboy.
Not even a resemblance of a woman.
I know. I mean, the picture I saw of you in the military or two, a couple pictures, you look like a guy. I mean, you don't really look like a girl.
Totally.
Yeah.
I walked, I talked, I did everything the way the men did.
Wow.
Except take a, piss. I wish I had been able to achieve that one.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? That brings up the subject where I really don't feel that women do belong in combat-related forces. Because if you are out in a patrol, and I'm just going to use this as an example because this is something that we were trained in and so on. We would be I've forgotten all our terms now. Yeah. And you know, for a guy, if we're going along doing a patrol... Right, he'd be walking around. Yeah, if he had to do a piss, all he has to do is sling his rifle.
Right.
You know, undo his pants, pull it out, and then piss while he's walking along.
Right.
While others are still taking care of everything. Now, with a woman, I mean, this is with your backpack or your webbing and your rifle and everything like that.
Right.
Now, for a female... Well, we can't exactly walk and piss at the same time. We actually have to stop.
I don't think I could either.
No, we actually have to stop. And then, of course, you do have women that were like, I have to go to the loo, I have to go to the toilet. And then they bloody walk, 100 meters or so and try and squat behind this miserable little bush,
Yeah.
But at the same time, they make themselves so vulnerable to enemy fire, so to speak, you know, in those circumstances, and puts your platoon also in compromised situation.
Yeah.
Because here she is, she has to take off her pack, she has to take off her webbing, she has to put her weapon down.
Maybe
she has to undo her pants and do the whole squat thing.
You know how it would solve that? I would give women soldiers crotchless pants. And then you just squat and you do it. Or something you can zip up, you know, like baby's hair.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was there, I remember when I used to first go outfield, I wore at least 3 pairs of underwear underneath my pants.
Mm.
And then every couple of days I would cut the first pair and then, put them back in my pack, and then I would go another couple of days, cut the second, and then eventually I'd have no underwear.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
As for your period, most women we had to keep taking the pill and not, you know, like miss the cycle.
Oh.
So that we wouldn't have our period out there.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
My God, you know, you're going out field, you don't want to be having to worry about some woman bloody throwing bloody tampons everywhere or pads or whatever they may use. Because one, the odor is just like distinctly gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, just, I mean, when you're out field,
yeah.
I mean, it just, everything just seems to be intensified. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, we would have to, definitely miss our cycle to avoid
that. Wow, that's interesting. But, you know, I mean, I agree with you. You shouldn't send women to combat. But I think it's also because if they fall in enemy's hands, they're a lot more vulnerable.
Correct,
you know? And, you know, not to say that they would break more easily, but, I mean, they could get raped and all that shit.
Yeah,
and it's, terrible.
There's a little bit more. Yeah, there's a lot more involved. You know? And then there's also the fact that men become even more compelled over protecting a woman versus protecting the man.
That's true.
Just,
and then it's,
you know,
not
what I mean?
Equal, yes.
So it becomes a non-equal situation.
Right. Yeah.
It actually would jeopardize, you know, your platoon.
Yeah. And I think unless you're a really butch woman, you're not really made for combat. You know, it's not, I don't think it's in the genes for women to into combat. You know?
I don't think I had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't ignorant or naive about the fact that we don't belong out there because of this, and this.
Right.
And I can tell you right now that even in our military, and I'm pretty sure it's the same here,
mm-hmm.
when men and women go out in field, the mentality that men gain is like you would have lawsuits up your ass. You know, for sexual harassment.
Yeah,
because the whole verbal, the whole body language, verbally, mentally, physically, everything like that becomes almost a complete different person. They change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't worry
about what you say when you're out in the field
no.
could die.
I'll give you an example.
You don't worry about political correctness and shit.
I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
On base, you couldn't tell a woman I'd like to fuck you until you bleed and stuff like that because, you know, well, one, the guy's going I would never say that anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But when they go out field, it becomes a whole different, it becomes, what do you call it, permission. It's like they've been given permission to be even more abrupt, even more outlandish.
Because you're going out in the wild, you know. It's
exactly.
not like you're part of an institution when you're on base.
No, you're not. And that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So when you're out field, oh my God, the stuff that the guys used to throw at me
really?
Were like freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have anything to lose. What the fuck,
no,
you know?
But then,
if you go and complain,
but then I used to go back at them too.
Yeah,
you know
I'm sure.
I used to go back at them.
Yeah, but if you went and complained, nobody would give a shit. You know,
probably
you don't like
not,
it, don't be in the army.
Probably
you know?
Not out bush.
Yeah.
I don't think. Yeah. I don't know. I never complained, only because I held my own.
Good. Good for you.
You know.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not going to help you to complain in the army. You know?
No.
They'll throw you right out.
It's like for Jesus Christ. I mean, you join the army. What do you expect?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
What do you expect?
So, now, are you surprised by this report that it says that 17 of the nation's 50 largest cities had high school graduation rates lower than 50%?
No, I already knew about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is that half of the fucking students in high school do not graduate.
Yeah.
Do you know what a commentary that is about our society? I mean, that is nauseating.
Yes.
And these are the future of this country, you know? And not
which is kind of scary.
And not to even have a high school education. I'm not even talking about college.
Yeah.
But they're not going to survive in this world. They're going to be flipping hamburgers all their lives. 50%, that's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so all our resources as taxpayers are just being wasted because these guys are not going to do anything with their education anyway.
No.
You know, they may as well just not fucking go to school in the first place.
No, what they're going to do is they're just going to lower the standards into college and so on, and then it's just going to be...
No, it's not going to happen. It's just that all that's going to happen is a smaller group of people will be eligible
right.
to be enrolled in these colleges. You know, I mean, nobody's really trying. And I'm willing to bet you a lot of these are minorities, you know, immigrants, shit like that, you know,
yeah.
people that are not maybe, may not be necessarily aware of how behind they're going to get if they don't get their education.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the students. I mean, this has to do with the parents, you know, and when you don't give a shit about your kids, that's what happens.
Well, yeah, everyone's trying to.
You know, I mean, what do you mean fucking not graduate? You know, if my kids came and told me that, you didn't graduate high school?
No, not at all. Mm. As soon as I turned 15, my father took me out of school.
Why?
Well, because...
He wanted you to work and bring money?
Yep.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. That's the way it works on a farm.
I guess. Farm girl.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
All my family, pretty much.
Really?
My sister was the only one that went back to school.
Hmm. Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, you don't need to determine your... Your future, don't let it keep you down.
You know what? No, yeah. I tried. I've tried, probably several times to go back mm-hmm. to school.
Yeah.
To try something.
Yeah. At this age, it's hard, huh?
Fuck, I hated yeah. it. I cannot stand it. I cannot do it.
Yeah.
And the only time that I was forced to like study something was when I had to do a test and also the IQ test for immigration here.
Yeah.
Because I had no education.
Yeah.
And they go like, well, what education do you have? And I was like, nothing. The military.
Yeah, I'm surprised the military took you without a high school degree.
Well, you have to go through all these substantial tests to join our military too.
Right.
They don't go off high school. They go off how you do in the test. It was an
okay.
all-day test.
All right.
I remember it very, very clearly because I was looking at it. I was like, what the hell is all this? I mean, because they have really weird questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I can imagine.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out everything about you.
Yeah, exactly. Like this big old psychology tests.
Yeah.
And everything like that. And then I found out, that I have 138 IQ, whatever that is. I don't know.
138 IQ? That's almost a genius.
Look, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And then the, what do you call that? Is it the GED?
Mm-hmm.
Like you do,
yeah.
or something like that if you don't have high school
or
something like that?
Yeah, it's like graduate equivalent degree
kind of thing.
Or something.
Oh, okay, all right. So I did that, and I got an A for that.
Good. So you got a high school diploma here?
Well, actually, I don't know. I guess so.
Mm.
But I never got anything.
Well, if you
to
got
tell
a
me.
GED, GED is like a degree, yeah.
Well, no,
not a degree, but
yeah. You know, but it was just one day that I had to go in. I went in for a couple of classes first.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so they said, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to expect. Da 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 da. I did two classes. I was supposed to do something like 6 weeks classes, right? And I turned up for two. And then I did the test and everything like that. And I thought it was maybe a little difficult, or maybe just like, what the hell is this shit? You know, that kind of thing. And I was like buzzed through. Oops. And then, I don't know, but I never got anything. Like, they just said, congratulations, you know, great, you got an A. Like, okay, so now what? Oh, we're just going to be sending this to immigration. Like, okay, great, thank you.
Hmm.
And then that was it. Hmm. That was my introduction.
Sounds good to me.
But, I mean, I've even tried to do online studies for certain things in sociology, psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've tried to, you know, attend a class for, you know, psychology or sociology. Like, I can't do it. I just cannot commit to it.
Okay.
Even back home in Australia, I attempted it a couple of times just to go back to school for something. Can't do
well,
it.
Well, at least you tried. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Harry Carey here. You know, Two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California Dreaming with my favorite Jew in Australia, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Cubs win. Cubs win.
Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Did you hear that Jessica Simpson was in the hospital?
No.
Yeah, she was over the weekend with kidney infection.
Wow.
And apparently she's out now and she's doing a lot better. She's 27 years old.
With a kidney infection.
Yeah.
How the hell is she coming up with that?
I don't know. I don't know. But
Did you know that she too, Jessica Simpson, thought that chicken was tuna or something
like
that?
Yeah, chicken of the sea.
Chicken of the...
But apparently she claims that she said it on purpose to sound like dumb. But there was some kind of a recording of hers talking to her husband. And she says, she said something, I don't remember, but it was chicken of the sea tuna.
Yeah.
And she thought it was chicken.
Chicken. It's like, how does chicken be in the sea, honey? I don't know.
I thought
chickens were those white things that run around in those things.
Yeah. I could just imagine. You know what's amazing about her is, I mean, she's gotten very famous, and yet she does nothing. I mean, she's an actress in small movies. They don't really make it.
Has she been in
like
small movies?
She hasn't sang anything. Yeah, she was in like Dukes of Hazzard and a couple more movies.
That was it.
No, I'm sure she did a couple of small roles.
Yeah.
But she first became known for her singing, you know, and she's got some cool songs, but she doesn't seem to sing anymore.
No.
You know? I mean, I'd love to play you her song, but we all know what... We can't really play any of these songs anymore, so... but we can talk about it, and she's got a great voice, you know. I surprised a couple people when I played it to them. They go, "Wow, this is Jessica Simpson," you know. So
wow,
it's pretty good, yeah.
Wow, see, there you go. I have a recording.
And then you had third graders accused of plot to hurt the teacher. Okay, and
this third graders.
Yeah, this is some small town in Georgia. These are 8 and 9 year old boys and girls, and they were planning to harm their teacher. You know?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, they were caught with handcuffs and knives and shit. And, yeah, they really wanted to harm that teacher. And, I mean, these are little kids, Manu.
How old is third graders?
That's 8 years old.
8, 9 years old, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
See, what the fuck is going on?
You know, I mean, the kids are growing up so quickly today. That they're already starting to think like adults at such an early age.
They're so exposed. That's the thing. They're so exposed. You know as much as I know, when we grew up, we didn't get involved with adult talk or adult events or even adult TV for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. We talked about it many times, and we can continue saying
how... Now the TV has become babysitter, which hence I did bring up something... that it needs to be of concern. They are now, childhood TV viewing is being linked to teen attention problems and so on. So basically there has been a 40% increase in attention problems and bad behavior issues with both boys and girls who have heavy TV viewing and so on.
You know,
so,
TV has been criticized from day one. People always attack television.
I know, but see, right now, I mean, look what's on TV these days.
Yeah. No, that's true. But the thing is that it's been said a million times and will be said again that parents have to be in charge of what their kids watch.
Well, exactly.
What they do. And but you're right. Look, and you know what? That's the price kids have to pay for being born today, is they're being born into a more mature, more serious, colder type of a world. But they also adapt, and you'll agree the kids today are a lot smarter, a lot more sophisticated than we were at their age.
Yeah. So, and you know, I mean, now they're like everything else seems so boring because they've been so bombarded with information from the television that it makes their everyday life very, very boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just, you know, something else I threw out there, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. And in Oregon, they have now come up with, because of the health plan situation and everything like that, they've got something like close to, I don't know, some phenomenal amount of people without insurance. Because, you know, you get Medicaid if you're under a certain, you know, under a certain income.
Right.
You get free health, you know, care and so on. But as soon as you reach another, you know, go to that, you're not entitled to that, but you still don't earn enough money to cover for health insurance anyways. So there's still something like, you know, thousands and thousands of people without health insurance.
Millions.
You're right. Yeah. Okay, let's say millions of people without that. Well, Oregon has now come up with a monthly lottery system. 3,000 people. They want to try to have 3,000 people every month. So every month, you can imagine thousands, millions of people are applying for this lottery, for healthcare lottery.
Yeah.
Only 3,000 are selected for each month. And I think it's only, I don't know if this is going to be an ongoing thing or it's just something that they're just testing out to see how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well.
But Oregon, you go, Oregon. You came up with a health insurance lottery.
Yeah, we'll see how long that'll last.
Yeah, you know? I know.
But you know what I'm having an issue with is all the people that are criticizing China right now and wanting to boycott the Olympics. I don't get it. The thing is, the Olympics were created to bridge the differences between countries,
right,
to bring athletes together, bring the whole world together, all these countries, to show that they can actually create something. And I remember when I watched, I think, the Sydney Olympics, it occurred to me, you know, during the opening ceremonies, how great this thing is.
Right.
It's like how, when people come together, what incredible stuff they can do.
Yeah.
You know, and yet they want to go boycott now, just like we did in Moscow. Mm. And that was, what, 1980, I think?
We boycotted
the Moscow Olympics. Now we want to boycott China. And the thing is, we're not going to get anywhere. You can't mix politics with sports. I mean, there's, you know.
No, I mean, right now, the Tibetans, you know, who used to be their own country and so on, they have, like, been under the rule of China for so many years. And, you know, we're talking about the Tibetan monks and so on.
Right.
And I think this is why this is all occurring, because the Tibetans are now using this as their link, or at least a global use of getting attention to the problem that China is causing for Tibetan.
Right. Well,
but unfortunately, it's creating more havoc than necessary. I don't know whether it's necessary or not. But
yeah, I mean, look, there's problems everywhere. You know, it's not just in Tibet.
No,
the thing is, you solve these problems with through diplomacy and not through boycotting Olympics.
Right.
It just doesn't cut it. So I think it's all a bunch of bullshit. And if we don't show up for the China Olympics, I'm going to be pissed, for one, like anybody gives a shit, but
right.
Yeah, I don't think that that makes sense.
I don't know. I think it could become quite a hostile situation.
Yeah.
When's the Olympics supposed to be going through?
Usually they're like in May, June.
Really? What, this year?
Well, I don't know. I know that usually they are. They're the summer Olympics.
But I mean, like, of this year?
Oh, yeah, wow. This year.
Wow. Wow. No way.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're talking about it now, about boycotting it and stuff. Yeah.
That's
I'm excited.
Scary.
I love the Olympics.
Yeah.
They don't come around soon enough.
Wow.
But it's cool to watch all those diving and the runners, and yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. It's fun. I like it. It's like a global celebration when the Olympics take place.
Right.
You know, and I like to watch it. I'm not a sports fan by any means, but to watch all those swimmers and stuff, it's just interesting. And it's interesting to know that everybody is together.
I like to wonder what my favorite sport. I cannot stand football. I cannot sit down and watch football.
Mm.
Same with baseball. I cannot sit down and watch baseball.
Yeah. Because you didn't grow up with this stuff, that's why.
No, I grew up with...
Can you watch soccer?
Nah, you know what? No, yeah. I cannot.
Basketball?
No, cannot. Yeah. The sport that I would probably be more inclined to watch is the swimming,
right.
I would say. And
the diving is nice.
You know what?
They're
do like the diving. I can certainly watch that for sure.
I think that's a big favorite.
What else could I think the, you know, like the triathlons.
Yeah.
The triathlons.
Those are fun.
Because those guys there, I mean, my God, they're just out training and training every day. They're running like 20 K's every day. They're just... Ugh.
Plus, those are sporting events we don't normally watch, you know.
No.
I mean, they don't have it on television. So once in 4 years, you go, wow, you know, let me watch this a little bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, I grew up with football, you know, the Australian football. And
which is soccer, right?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, you guys have similar football? Oh,
rugby league.
That's right.
Yeah. Rugby league.
Yeah, like in South
Africa. We have rugby league, rugby union, and then we have the Australian rules. Now, I could never watch Australian rules, but I did grow up watching rugby league. And then as I got older, I thought it was the most ridiculous, insane, indecent, and cruel game I've ever seen.
Yeah, rugby's pretty violent, huh?
It is so violent.
I mean, there's
violent.
Like almost no rules to that game.
I mean, they even have an area called the blood bin.
Really?
You, off to the blood bin. And I'm serious. Like, you get cut. I mean, your ears get torn off. Yeah.
I know, they don't wear protective shit like they do here in football games.
No, and they hit each other, so you can just almost hear the freaking cracks of the bones and shit.
I mean, it's like, take American football. Imagine it being 10 times as violent with no gear at
no
all.
No protective gear
whatsoever.
And then on top of that, you have this team and this team, and there's no swapping back and forth. There's none of this, like, you know, go out, do a little punt, and then, you know, if they lose the ball, then they swap... You know,
right.
They swap the sides,
right.
Defense and offense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, these guys just run up and down that freaking field for like freaking 40 minutes. 40 freaking two halves of 40 minutes. They run back and forth, back and forth. And those bastards are just getting their asses kicked.
Yeah. I wonder how many years you can play in a league like this. I mean, you'd be fucking beat up to death.
I don't think they last very long. But I could never date a football guy, that's for sure.
Because
he's some ugly motherfucker by the time. I mean, they're all good looking when they go in. By the time they're done in the first year or second year, they got no ears left. Their ears are all like cauliflower. Their noses are all bent out of shape and everything like that. They got freaking eyes are all slanted and twisted because of being cut open all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just nasty.
Yeah.
And their fingers are all broken up and fucked up looking. I mean, it's just like, why would you be attracted to something like that?
Yeah.
Never. Never. But I mean, that's what the guys look like. And they're all like just solid pieces of freaking, I don't know, man.
Muscle.
Yeah, just huge muscle
everywhere.
There's got to be steroid use there, that's for sure.
I'm sure. There's not many rules.
Oh, but you know
rugby.
What? There is one game that I never, ever watched growing up in Australia, and that was the Australian rules.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I watch that game, I'm like astounded. Like, oh my God, how do these guys do that? Because these are the guys that are like tall and slender, and they wear those itty-bitty shorts, which I never thought were appealing back then, but now I do.
You like them now?
Yeah, exactly. But they're all like 6 foot and taller. I mean, they're all very tall guys.
Yeah.
And they just leap up in the freaking air off of somebody else's back and just get that fucking ball. And then in midair, they're kicking the ball like 50, 60 yards through a damn goalie while they're being, you know, like torn down by one of the other players. Have you ever watched it?
What kind of a fucking career? I've seen some rugby, yeah, when I was in South
Africa.
Not rugby.
We're talking about Australian rules.
What is Australian rules? I don't know.
Well,
I thought it's the name of a team.
We call it aerial ping pong.
We call
it aerial ping pong because literally the guys, they're like much taller, much slender, and basically they do not stop. I mean, they're just kicking whatever. It's a crazy game. I still don't really understand it.
Uh-huh.
But when I just remember watching it, I was like, holy crap. These guys, I mean, they're talking about, like, to make goals, for instance. They've got the ball. Meanwhile, they've got two other opponents dragging them down, twisting them around, trying to fling them around to get that ball or so on. In the meantime, in midair, they've kicked the ball for a goal while all this is happening. I was like, that's some talent right there.
Yeah.
Just kicking that damn thing.
Yeah. Go into, we have a phone call. Let's see. Good morning, you're on the air with Sam and Manu. Hello? Yes.
Yeah, hello.
You're on the air.
Well, we did get a hello.
Didn't like that one. Didn't want to be on the air.
Well, he did say hello.
Yeah, because he didn't know what's going on.
I guess not. Yeah. I guess not. Like, ooh.
I bet he was trying to reach me and he called the call-in number instead. Yeah, you got to pay attention to what you're doing, folks.
Very possible. Yeah.
So the jury's decided that Daniel Smith, who was Anna Nicole Smith's 20-year-old son, died of an accident, and it was not suicide. So, he had taken a combination of drugs, including methadone and antidepressants.
Right.
So, I don't see why he would take methadone because isn't that what people take when they try to go off heroin? They go to methadone clinics.
Yeah.
But I guess that's still like a drug.
Well, you know, but
probably makes you high still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I think any drug like that is just, you're just asking for trouble. Look at Jerry Garcia, man. He was, an addict for years, almost all his life.
Yeah.
Then he decides that finally he's going to go straight. So he puts himself into rehab, and then he ends up dying in rehab because his body couldn't handle
the withdrawals.
The withdrawals and being clean. So
yeah. It happens, and alcohol withdrawals are very violent, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people can die from them. Withdrawals, yeah. So
Same with alcohol, huh?
In rehab, yeah, they take you into intensive care right away, I think.
Yeah. We already know that, I don't know, shit, I forgot what I was going to say then.
Oh, well.
Oh, no, that's what I was saying. Yeah. You know, like all the drugs that are out there, including alcohol, you can't not say that alcohol is not a drug.
Right.
I mean, it's probably one of the even more destructive drugs out there.
Alcohol is probably the worst drug because it's accepted. It's widespread.
It's actually number four on the worst drugs in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe it or not.
And yet, I think it's the most widely used, obviously.
Of course it is.
Because it's legal.
Yeah. And you got people getting fucked up everywhere, killing, running over, killing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Drink driving.
I'm wondering if alcohol is accepted because you drink it, you know, and then marijuana is because you smoke it. I wonder if there's anything to do with that.
Yeah,
because,
I figured a way out
you
to
know,
drink it.
Because all the drugs, you know, all the drugs that are outlawed, you don't take them. Like alcohol, you just drink, so it seems like a natural thing to do.
You know, that's probably true.
Yeah, so I think people figure they're not really realizing they're taking a drug.
Yeah, but you remember there was that time, I think it was in the 1920s or 30s, where alcohol was illegal.
Yeah, prohibition.
Yes, in the 20s.
Yeah.
And then when did it become legal? Do you remember?
In the 30s.
In the 30s?
Yeah, I'm not sure with the exact years, but yeah.
Okay.
Around that time.
So. But, I mean, for certain, if all the establishments got together and said, okay, everything's off the table, and alcohol was a brand new drug coming into society, it would be an illegal drug.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
That's why I still don't understand why it's acceptable, you know, but it is. It is. It's socially, globally acceptable.
Yes.
And But I think the worst deaths happen out of drinking. You know, whether it's people killing their spouses, killing people, innocent people, on the road.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, drunks become violent. You know, which is as opposed to people get high, they're just like happy all the time.
Yeah, you don't see anyone getting violent on freaking weed or anything.
You don't.
Right?
Yeah.
Or deaths for that matter.
No.
Or causing a death.
Yeah. Not that much. Not that much.
See? People.
We see.
Let's smoke instead of drink.
Sounds good to me. So, we don't have any guests today.
No.
So we're going to have to keep talking and talking.
No. Well,
which is fun.
No, that's fine. Uh-huh. I was watching another documentary last night, the Al Gore campaign.
Uh-huh.
He's turned 60 today.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations, today
was
Al.
I think it was like today his birthday was. Uh-huh. And he is still so intent on just educating every part of the world. He had just come back from India. He spent weeks in India training people there because it's number four of being the most pollutant country in the world and so on. Mm. So he's been there like really diligently training people, educating them about the global warming and so on.
Yeah.
Basically just raising funds to keep his project going. And I actually didn't know, but he had won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. The Peace Prize? I don't know if it's a Peace Prize, but he did
Nobel
win
Peace.
Something for global...
Well, he had won...
For his environmental...
The documentary. Yeah, he had won the Academy Award or whatever that is.
He did get an Academy Award, yeah.
Yes, for that.
Yeah.
But then he had also gotten the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, but what has he done for peace, though? That's what I don't understand.
Well, this is part of peace, right?
No, not
global warming. Trying to have people become more aware and more educated about what we are doing to the earth.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I believe that he won Nobel. I just don't think that it's for peace. You know.
Or Nobel, I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll look it up.
Let's check it up.
Yeah.
See, I'm not very good at remembering.
That's okay. You know what? You're absolutely fucking right. I take it all back. Take it all back. The Nobel Peace Prize 2007.
Thank you. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So all the money that he has, that he won, because you get a nice chunk of money, he put it all back into the campaign to continue his, his quest.
Yeah.
To make people more aware of the environment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because usually you get it for diplomats. Al Gore, because he seemed honest. You know, he didn't seem like a politician that much.
You know what?
But he never seems to win.
If you listen to this the 60-minute interview with him, he seems so much in peace and in sound with himself.
Yeah.
And he said he would never, ever, ever look back to politics ever again.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he was betrayed, I think.
He
really was. You know, with the elections against Bush and, in 2004 and all that. Not 2004, 2000.
Yes.
When he ran against Bush. And, he was robbed of the election, definitely. You know, I don't blame him for feeling that way. And besides, he's run a couple of times and he never gets close, so... well, he did get close in 2000.
He did get close, but
it's one of those that are not electable for some reason, you know, and that's
because
decent, honest people don't have
that's probably
place
what
in
it
politics.
Is because he's decent, honest, and you can certainly see that in his 60-minute interview because they do try to tap into that, and he was very honest and say he was very No, I wouldn't say reserved, but humbled.
Right.
You could say,
uh-huh.
with regards to that. And he said, you know what? That's just what happens. That's what happens. And that's why I now choose not to ever look back into politics again. I would never, ever go that route ever again.
I know.
Because I didn't want to go into this whole image of you have to wear a suit and tie and this and that. you know, the job that he does now, he just wears a t-shirt, jeans, sneakers, you know what I mean? And he just,
I still see him
and
in
he
suits,
does,
though, but,
he does what he wants to do passionately.
Yeah, yeah. And that's good. I commend him for that, you know. I mean, look at the Democratic Party now. You've got two strong candidates, but they're killing each other. They're splitting,
yeah.
they're splitting up the party and reducing their chances of winning against McCain.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans, at least by now, are more or less united behind McCain. Democrats are not even close.
No, no.
And they're probably going
to
be
still,
running
And they're still trying to pick out shit, you know, about Clinton. They're running a thing on Clinton about how her campaign is not paying up all the bills for working people. You know, the people behind the food and the people behind setting up stuff and the people behind... You know, all the hard workers.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And, but I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you run out of money. You run out of money. You know, obviously it was
but
badly
she's still,
managed.
The thing is, but she's still raising more than McCain.
Yeah.
That's the whole
thing.
Their
expenses are obviously huge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that does concern me because if she can't manage a fucking campaign, how's she going to manage a country? But the thing is, I don't think she manages the campaign. There's a campaign manager.
There is
that
a campaign
does that.
Manager.
But
maybe one or two.
They would have to be fucking fired, obviously.
Yeah, I know, because it's making her look like shit
now. Oh, yeah, it does.
Like, because the word's out, don't accept a job for Hillary Clinton's campaign because you ain't going to get paid.
Yeah.
And, like, it's got to the point where then...
I thought most campaign workers do not get paid. It's volunteers. We're talking about vendors, right?
We're talking about the food suppliers, caterings and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Even hotels.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Oh, well, they can afford to donate a little bit to the campaign.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. So, and what's another thing that I watched last night? This German-Iranian guy... his name I cannot remember because it was some weird name.
I'm sure. Iranian names are pretty long and complicated.
But in the year of 2001 of the 9/11, he was going to be flying into Iraq or that part to marry a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so before that he had... you know, decided to go into the religion, to study the religion a bit, because he decided that he was going to marry into the culture and so on. Now, he's a guy who lives in Germany, right? An Iranian German.
Right.
Now, 9/11 happened. He didn't even think that it might be an issue, perhaps.
Right.
He had never even heard of Al-Qaeda or any of that business, Osama bin Laden or anything like that. So he decides that he's still going to go over to Iraq and marry this woman. Well, he goes over there, marries her and so on, and then he's on the bus or doing something right. The bus gets pulled over, and then for the next 5 years, the Afghanistanian soldiers pulled over the bus, and of course he looked not as dark as the Pakistanians and so on, and then they ended up taking him into captivity and then hands it over to the U.S. soldiers as an Al-Qaeda, you know, suspect and so on. So this poor guy at 19 years old then becomes captive under the U.S. government, is tortured, brutalized, I mean, you name it, everything like that. Then he goes into Guantanamo, and again, there they had denied him for 2 years of any kind of legal, you know, support,
right,
or you know what I mean?
Right.
Investigation. Finally, through words of, you know, through Germany and everything like that, he finally got legal aid. Then they all looked through the history and they said, okay, he is definitely not linked to anything or any, like, compared to the U.S. or Al-Qaeda or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they continued to keep him captive for 2 more years.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about, you know. I mean, it's because they feel he's guilty and they figure,
they were saying that the U.S. government or the U.S. soldiers and the people in control of all that were making up stuff so that they could keep him in there.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they didn't like the way he looked. I don't know.
I don't know. But it was a very sad, it was a very, very sad story. But anyway, he has actually come out with a book now called 5 Years of My Life, mm-hmm. which tells the entire story. He's back in Germany now.
Yeah.
Finally, after all these years.
Yeah.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. It is.
Completely not associated to anything. And he gets captured.
Yeah, but that's part of war, you know?
Yeah,
we're,
I know.
We're in war. We're in fucking war, you know? You happen to be on the wrong side.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Exactly, walking in the wrong neighborhood, and that's
wrong
it.
Bus.
Plan your trips better next time.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And, yeah, you know, outside Seattle, there's a an interesting restaurant that opened up, and it's called Terabyte Lounge. And it's in, yeah, it's in the Seattle suburb of Kirkland. Have you
yes,
ever been
I know.
There? Yeah, you
yeah.
know that. So this restaurant offers this: all you can eat, pay as you wish. So,
huh?
In other words, you get to pay as much as you think the meal was worth. There's no prices, so you go in. Some people actually walk out and don't pay anything.
Wow.
You know. So, but yeah, I don't understand the thinking behind this. I mean, they can't win doing this, you know? Yeah, they'll draw a lot of fucking crowds, but, you know, nobody's going to pay. I mean, how much would you pay? I would pay maybe half of what I think it was worth or something, you know?
Wow. What kind of food are they serving?
I don't know, but, you know. So they have like a donation slot to put the money in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they leave it up to the people to pay.
That's kind of scary.
Well, it is. You know, there was this one band, I can't remember the name, who released a new song or a new album a month or two ago, and they put it on the internet, and they just told people, pay whatever you think, whatever you'd like. And
wow.
Obviously, they lost a lot of money. People are not going to pay. Not when given the option.
No.
Yeah, people want everything cheap or free.
Well, and then you have the homeless people going there for free, too,
yeah.
once they catch on to it, right?
That's true.
At least I know where to go for a free meal. Right?
Yeah, I guess you do, huh? Go to the shelter. Get some food there.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Well, when I first got here. So,
yeah.
But that's because people are like, where's your social security card? I'm like, what is that?
You're listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back.
So you hear Walmart. In their latest claim to fame,
mm-hmm.
One of their employees, a woman, was sideswiped by one of the Walmart trucks and was severely hurt, brain damage, and all sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there was a cost something of like over, what, $500,000? No, well, actually probably close to $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
In costs and damages, medical care, and so on. And so, anyways, for damages and so on, she got awarded $417,000,
mm-hmm.
right, to take care of everything. Now, her son, so it gets better. Walmart has now just decided, you know, apparently in their clause of their health benefits and so on, gives Walmart the option to sue any of their people for money back.
Oh, really?
And so Walmart, right, even though Walmart had to pay, you know, like $700,000 or so, you know, dollars.
Right.
You know, towards, you know, caring and damages and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. Because she's fucked up now.
Yeah.
Right. She's completely gone. And Walmart is suing her for $470,000 to get that money back,
yeah.
or most of their money back.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Now, on top of that, her son went to war to get money for the family, you know what I mean, to bring an income and so on, because apparently there are all the legal issues and so on. Mm-hmm. So he goes off to war and gets killed. She has to be reminded every day that she doesn't have a son anymore.
Wow.
She keeps asking, where's my son, or whatever his name is. And then they have to keep telling her, because she's under constant care now.
I see, okay.
They have to keep reminding her, I'm sorry you lost your son in the war.
So now they're suing her?
Walmart is suing her.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Now, she was awarded $417,000,
right,
to, you know, like to cover the rest of her life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
For the care and so on.
Yeah. So what legs do they have? I mean, what basis are they suing her?
Well, because in the clause, in their employment clause,
right,
you know, when you sign up for health benefits and so on,
uh-huh,
it actually allows Walmart to get back any money that they feel they deserve, they are owed back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If they lost and they had to pay her, they're not getting any money back. Trust me. You know, let her rest in peace.
But the fact that Walmart,
I know, that's
has
disgraceful.
A lawsuit against this woman who doesn't even know who she is.
That's fucking disgraceful.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Isn't it disgraceful? So Keith Oberman, his statement is, I will do this every day, and has claimed them to be the world's worst person, Walmart. Can you believe that? That's just horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
And
what
here are we are supporting that bullshit.
Yeah.
And then in the UK, this is kind of weird. In the UK, they have come up with the first hybrid embryo, half human, half animal.
You have to be shitting me.
I'm not shitting you. Sounds really weird, doesn't
Who's
it?
Who's going to give birth to that?
I have no freaking idea, but it's a little freaky if you ask me.
No, I can't believe that.
No.
That's not true.
I just seen it. I just saw it. It was unbelievable.
Are you sure this is like a serious site you're on?
UK's, yeah, this is BBC.
Oh,
BBC, okay. In Science and Health. UK's first hybrid embryos created. Scientists have created part human, part animal hybrid embryos for the first time in the UK. Wow. And they even show the little suckers right there.
Yeah, why is that important, though? I mean,
I have no idea. I don't know what the purpose behind it is.
Yeah.
But I'll probably read into it a little bit more.
It sounds too bizarre.
It is a little bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have a few facts about the human body that I think you'd find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What men think about sex every 3 minutes?
No, actually, that doesn't come into play here. But they're saying that if your stomach didn't produce a new layer of mucus every 2 weeks, it would digest itself.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, the stomach is pretty powerful. Let me give you another fact on the stomach. The acid in your stomach is strong enough to dissolve razor blades. Do you fucking believe that?
So it's the swallowing, it's the swallowing of the razor blades that will kill you?
I guess so. I'm sure it would cut a few parts, but by the time it gets down there to the stomach. But I mean, for this to melt fucking metal,
I mean,
for crying out loud, you know, that's stainless steel too. So, I mean, there's a lot of acids in there.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So the stomach does produce new layers, so it won't digest itself.
Wow.
Now, today you'll take about 23,000 breaths.
Unless you're hyperventilating.
Then you'd have a couple more, right? you exhale air at an average speed of 4 miles per hour.
That's kind of, that's faster than I thought.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Never even thought about it.
No, I guess you don't.
Now listen to this, Manu. 2%, the whole 2% of Americans have an extra nipple somewhere on their body.
2%?
2% of the fucking people.
That's a little freaky, man.
That's what, 6 million people? Fuck, man, that's a lot.
That's a little freaky.
An extra fucking nipple. I wonder if women have like a woman's nipple when it's a third one.
I have no
idea. Or if
idea.
It's just like a man's nipple, you know?
I don't think I would like that. hang on, is that what that thing is on my back?
See, I told you, but you couldn't see it. You never looked. It's on your back.
I always thought it was a mole. You know what? That's probably what it is. Most people might think it's a mole.
Yeah.
Instead, it's a nipple.
Well, I'm sure it looks like a nipple.
You know what? That sounds so gross. Yeah. I mean, that's even more a little disturbing than this part animal, part human thing. You know what I'm saying?
Now, check this out. Pain travels through your body at a rate of 315 feet per second.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously a split, a fraction of a second for you to feel the pain. So it doesn't take very long.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
Except when you fall out and break your knees.
Now, check these two out. These are interesting. First of all, what do you think the largest organ in the body is?
The largest organ, I would think that it's the...
Now, if you know this one, I'm going to kill you. Because you always seem to figure these things out.
Probably the kidney or the liver.
The fucking liver, Manu.
Ha! Ha!
How the fuck, man? You're like smart, okay? You must be 138 IQ. Really?
Well, you know, you just think about it. Like, you just think about it.
I would never have thought the liver.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like kidding, maybe the liver. Because the liver is a pretty damn important part of your body.
Right.
I mean, that's what keeps your body clean.
But we're talking about physical size.
Yeah, know? I know, yeah. I know. But it's got to take some sort of, you know, decent size organ to keep it going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I analyzed it.
Yeah. The liver processes about a quarter of blood a minute. So that's what it does. It processes the blood, I guess.
A quart of blood per minute, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the liver works pretty hard.
Yeah, it does, huh?
Yeah. And then, guess what the largest cell in the human body is?
Ooh, well, hang on. Now, that could be a tricky one.
Yeah, that's hard. I don't think anybody would know that, but you'd be amazed to hear what it is.
Probably something that we wouldn't even think of.
The largest cell in the human body is a female egg.
Oh, that's a cell?
I guess it is.
I guess it is, huh? Wow.
Yeah. And the smallest cell?
I don't know.
Male sperm? Yeah. There you go. So the largest and the smallest.
And yet they're the more livelier ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they get a lot of action if you're sexually active, that's for sure.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
The female egg. A full bladder is about the size of a softball. Wow. That's pretty big.
That is, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it feels larger than that. The amount of time you have to pee it out.
I know, but that's pretty big. I mean, shit. You know? Yeah, sometimes you just dine to pee, huh?
Yeah,
I mean,
and it just keeps going, and going.
I know. Well, and then you use about 200 muscles each time you take a step. And get this, your body uses 300 muscles to balance itself when you're standing still.
Ah.
So it requires more muscles to stand still than to walk.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. No, that's fucking interesting.
Which actually makes sense. You know those little the trampolines? You know, the little bounce trampolines?
Right.
And then you have those balancing discs.
Uh-huh.
Right? You're probably more so the balancing discs. You know, you step on one of those for 5 minutes, and it's killing you.
Yeah.
Because you're just using so many different parts of your body to try and keep yourself balanced on that disc.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Same with trampoline, believe it or not. You know how many people cannot bounce up and down on a trampoline? It's unbelievable.
Why?
I don't know why. It was just something really bizarre that I had discovered.
Mm.
Because, you know, I mean, like, you know, I grew up and I had trampolines. I had all sorts of things going on. And then I just remember jumping up, doing all these flips, flops, all this kind of stuff. And then other people would be going up and they'd just like fall and unbalance and, you know, fly off the trampoline and so on. And it's like I
love trampolines, you know.
I love trampolines.
I mean, it's such a rush, you know.
Yeah.
And they have these things like that are like kind of bungee string, you know, but you sit like on a swing.
Yes, yeah.
And you jump up and down. They have this at the, so you jump on the trampoline and it bounces you off in the air.
Yep. And then you can do little twists and turns, yeah, and flips.
It's amazing. They have it at the farmer's market near the mall where we go. But it's only little kids doing this, you know, like little girls like this. And I'm going, can you imagine me sitting on this shit? I was going to do it. My son is like, Dad, no fucking way you're going on that thing.
Why not?
Can you imagine me doing this shit, man?
No, I would certainly do it. Seriously, I would do it. And that's me.
It's fun.
I remember, where was it? I can't remember where it was. I think it was here in LA, and I turned up to this thing, this event or whatever, and they had, this is kind of funny, they had a little trampoline in front of like this big massive mat, you know, one that you land on, and of course a mat that was standing straight up.
Right.
And it was Velcro. So you put on this suit, Velcro suit, right?
Right.
So you put on your Velcro suit, you zip it up and everything like that, and then you run for dear life, jump on the trampoline, and then just hit yourself up against the wall. And you would stick to the wall.
The wall?
Yeah. So I was watching the kids, you know, doing it, and they're like, oh my God, that looks like so much fun,
you know? It does, wow.
And so, and I went over.
So they
like,
stick to the wall with the Velcro.
Yeah, you stick to the wall with the Velcro. And so I went over and I was like, wow, do you have an adult suit? And they go, yeah, we do.
Really?
It's like, cool. So I went in and I paid $5, you know, to do it.
Uh-huh.
And so I like, ran up and twisted and I landed upside down, sideways kind of thing. I was like, hey, this is fun. Yeah.
Sounds like fun to me, man.
It was fun. It was actually really funny.
Yeah.
It was great. And then they'd come up and peel you off because you can't peel yourself off.
Yeah, I know. Well, did you ever get a Dirty Sanchez?
I've heard of that, but hell no.
Do you know what it is?
If it's what I think it is,
yeah.
That's kind of disgusting.
It is disgusting. Dirty Sanchez, I'm sure many of you heard but didn't know what it was. That's after you have anal sex, the man pulls out his dick with shit on it, and he rubs it and creates a mustache for the woman.
Isn't that gross?
Is that like, that was a sex corner for the day. You learn a new term like you really needed to know that. This is the show where you come out and you find out everything that you never knew.
There was, what's the Red Wings?
Red Wings.
Yeah, I think it's called Red Wings.
I don't know. Bat Wings, maybe?
No, Red Wings,
when,
like...
When your ball sack sticks to your legs?
No. Oh, like okay. When a woman's on a monthly, you know, the guy goes down and gets his Red Wings.
Oh, my God. Is that fucking disgusting or what?
I know. It's
I mean,
pretty disgusting.
What is that, you know? I mean,
I don't know.
I can see a vampire doing that, but... some people are fascinated with blood. I don't know what the fuck it is.
I know. Some people are fascinated about feces as well, me.
I just had... Yeah, you and your feces. There she goes with her poop book again to
Hell
help
yeah.
us conclude the show. So that you'll have literally a shitty taste in your mouth after we finish.
Literally. Yeah. So let's go into this one, what's your poo telling you? I mean, this is unbelievable that this is actually a doctor, two doctors, or one doctor actually, did this book to educate people about their poos.
Okay, well,
I suppose.
That's why you got it.
But it's funny as well. I mean, it is kind of funny. So, dads, D-A-D-S is the day after drinking stool, which I'm sure all of us have encountered. I think they're the best ones.
Okay, so the shit after you drink
is, you know, like the day
unique.
After.
Yeah.
You know, the day after you've had a big night in the piss or
uh-huh.
something like that.
Uh-huh.
So after a long night of partying, you may awake the next day with a hangover and an unsettled stomach. Duh. Whether your personal hangover cure is a greasy meal, a milkshake, or a Bloody Mary, or family expert, your body needs to purge itself of the toxins and recover from the indulgences of the previous evening. Wow. I don't know. Nah, I'm bored on that one.
Are you?
I think we've all done that kind of... Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
There's got to be a more interesting shit out there than that.
Next time, prepare for you shit talk a little more. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, our listening audience, we thank you for joining us once more for a great show, as always. At least we're having fun. We don't know about you, but we're having a blast here. And stay tuned. We have a replay of Lucia's The Art of Love coming right up. Pretty interesting. And in case you haven't listened to Lucia on Sundays, this is a chance to listen to her now. We, of course, have TJ coming back today at noon for his 2 hours of talking about who knows what.
Yeah.
And, sometimes I can't figure out what TJ's saying, but it's funny, you know. Everything he says is funny, so that's pretty good. Pleasure listening to him. Johnny Dam with his compelling shows every afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then the rest you can check the schedule on our website today. And we thank you once again. Today is Tuesday, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.